me tonight. Father, I thank you. I love you, Lord. I praise you. God, I ask you tonight to speak through me. Let your light shine through this vessel. However broken I am and we are in this room, we ask you to be a light in this place. And if you would, as you have your head bowed and your eyes closed, I ask you guys, if you would just pray this prayer. No matter where you are in your faith journey, I just want you to pray this prayer. God, if you're out there, speak to me tonight. And just say that. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. But I would just ask that everybody comes to the table tonight, comes to the room with an open heart and an open mind as to what God could have for them this evening. Lord, we praise you and thank you. Amen. Amen. So tonight, as I got ready for the last week of our series called The Struggle, I was kind of in a quandary about what to talk about. So I opened my Bible up and I saw at the end of the book of Hebrews that we started in 3 weeks ago, there's a very clear and present struggle that takes place that's very clearly identified. And it's identified in terms of a race, of a not a sprint, but a marathon. How many runners are in the room? Any runners, track and field runners? Okay, you guys know what it's like to be in a race in out in the field or on a track and have to persevere and have to push through and finish the race strong. How many of you are going to finish up school here in 7 to 12 days? You're going to try to finish up your grade you're in, maybe not your last year, but you're finishing up. You've got some exams to take. Anybody with exams to take? If you've got an exam to take over the next 2 weeks, raise your hand. Raise your hand nice and high. Say, that's me. I got an exam tonight. Tonight, you need to listen up close because tonight's message is for you. If you've got to finish strong, you need to hear what Hebrews says to you. And that might not sound right. It might not sound clear. Like, why in the world would the Bible have anything to say about my exams? But I'll tell you what. The Bible is very clear that 2,000 years ago, people struggled with how to finish their race, how to finish the task that they had in their hand. And tonight, I want to tell you that in the struggle you're in to finish your race strong, what the Bible tells us to do seems upside down sometimes. It seems crazy upside down. Like, at times, we want to look at the obstacle, we want to look at the challenge, and we want to attack it, we want to jump over it. We want to look at the problem and deal with that. But what the Bible tells us to do is quite different. What Jesus Christ wrote in his instruction book for your life is very different than the way we look at how to deal with the race and the problem. And tonight, if you're here and you're listening, your ears are open, your eyes are bright, I want to engage this question with you. How are you finishing your race? How are you finishing your race? This year in school, this season of athletics, this relationship you've been in for too long and you know you've got to get out of it, but you don't know how to finish it. How are you running that race? How are you going to finish it? There's a very, very clear way the Bible tells us how we should finish, and we're going to talk about that tonight. In 2005, I started snowboarding, and I started snowboarding like later in life, after my teenage years. I think, I don't know, how old was I, Tara, when I started snowboarding? I think I was like 24, maybe even a little bit older than that. I don't know. Somewhere in there. It was after we had JJ. JJ's my oldest son. He's 10. He's clapping for JJ? Yes, he deserves it. He's a crazy jiu-jitsu ninja. But this is me snowboarding, as a matter of fact. We found an old picture of me right in my dreams. Thank you, Trevor, for outing me. This is not me in my best snowboarding days, but I wish it was. But I want to tell you, one time I went snowboarding, and I used to go on Thursday nights, because Thursday night is like the cheapest time to go to the hills, and it's dark, and nobody wants to go on Thursday night, evidently, except for like drunken college students. So I would go out on Thursday night after work, and me and a buddy of mine, we'd hit, like, as soon as I got home, he would be at my house waiting, I would throw my gear in the back of his car, and we would head right out to the slopes. And we would get there, and this happened all through the season, we'd get there, and we got pretty cocky towards the end of the season. We thought we could do a lot. And I'll tell you what, I wasn't real good. I'll say that right now. But at the end of one night, we had come off the slope once, and it was totally dark, pitch black, and they just had lights shining on the hill, which is, you know, if you've never been skiing or snowboarding, that, for me, I think, my opinion is that's the best possible time to go. It's just so crazy, and you have to be a little insane to do it, but it's fun. So I get out there, and we're deciding to do one last run for the night, right? And this is our last run. We're just going to finish strong, and we go up to the top of the hill, and we kick on our boards, and we come over to where we're going to start. And we start going down, and it's pitch black, and there's spots that we're hitting where I can't see anything. But the one thing I can see is him, my buddy, in front of me. So what I just track on is the back of his helmet and the back of his jacket. And I'm thinking, as long as I can keep an eye on him, I'm good. And we're kind of moving together. We're cutting through this space. And we come across to this forest area, and we cut through these trees, which we had done 100 times. But never before had I cut through those trees and looked at the guy in front of me. Every time I cut through those trees, I looked at the hill. I looked at the hill in front of me, what I was coming up next. But this night, because it was so dark and it was our last run of the night, I was tired. I was just a little spent. And I said, you know what? I'm going to just stare at him. And as long as I can follow right behind him as we cut through this, we'll be good. Because I can see kind of what he's hitting. And he comes through the woods. I come through right after him. And for some reason, it went dark and light again. And before I knew it, he was right in front of me. Right in front of me. Like, my board hit the back of his board. And I slammed into him, and I got so freaked out, I just cut my board back, fell down on my hands. And as I fell down on my hands, if you've ever been snowboarding, how many in the room ever been snowboarding before? You ever been on a ski hill? Okay. This is where it gets a little scary for me. And if you've never been in this position, you might not understand, but you'll have to imagine with me. I wipe out, and you're supposed to tuck your elbows in and kind of curl up when you fall. But how many of you guys know when you're falling, like, your brain doesn't think what you're supposed to do. It thinks, how can I keep safe? So you're flailing like, a child falling off of a porch into a pool. I guess that's the best thing I could think of just then. But I was flailing, and I hit the ground. And as I hit the ground, I hit his board. He stays up, but he does some kind of weird loop. And as I hit the ground, poof, my hands are out in front of me. And I look up, and there he is doing like 400 miles an hour at my face. And the edge of snowboards, in case you don't know this, the edge of snowboards are very, very sharp. They wax the board, and they sharpen the board to make sure that they can cut into the hill. And my hands are out in front of me, and what I realize at this moment is that as he's coming towards my head, he's going to cut my fingers off. And in case you haven't figured out the end of the story yet, he didn't cut my fingers off. They're still here. But he came very close, and what happened that night is I came face to face with the reality and the big idea for you tonight, that where you're looking is where you go. If you put this up on the screen with a black thing behind it, that'd be better. Thanks, Matt. Where you look is where you go. That's a big idea. I want you guys to write this down, tweet it, Facebook it, put it on your Instagram, put it on your Twitter, tweeter, whatever you got to do. Put it on something. Because where you look is where you go. And this relates to every area of life. Here's what it relates to. It relates to sports. It relates to your exams. It relates to your relationships. It relates to your job. It relates to your mom, your dad, your uncle, your aunt. It relates to everything you've ever known. Where you look is where you go. Where you look is where you go. Another time I was out snowboarding real quick. I was heading down the hill. I saw two trees. Where did I look? Not at the gap between the two trees, but at the trees themselves. What did I hit? The tree. Where you look is where you go. If you're in an accident, if you're driving a car, any drivers in the room? This is what happens when you are driving. Oftentimes, you'll like look to the left, look to the right. If you spend the whole time driving staring at the guardrail, what are you going to hit? The guardrail. Where you look is where you go. All right? This is a principle that doesn't just apply to life in general or relationships, but everything falls into this principle of where you look is where you go, right? Some guys, they'll say, you got to bounce your eyes, yo. Anybody ever heard that before? You got to bounce your eyes. Any of you guys who've been through small group, you got to bounce your eyes. You know what that means, right? We won't get into that tonight, but it's this idea that where you look is where you go. And the Bible says it like this, that we should look to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's a very clear and present example of what we should do in the midst of struggle that is different from what the world tells us we should do. Because what do we want to do? What do we want to do in our hearts? We want to look at a problem. We want to look at a struggle. We want to look at an exam and stare at it in the face and go, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to kill you. You want to look at that other person in the conflict and go, we're going to attack this head on. Or you look at that other person, you go, I'm just going to not say anything. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not. Because the whole time you're looking at that other person, and you're thinking, I don't want to make this a big deal. I don't want to make this a big deal. But the word says, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, gives us some very clear and present truth about how we should handle struggle. And it's upside down from what we think normally. I want to read it to you guys. So if you would, if you have your Bibles or if you have your YouVersion, you can open that up. I'm going to read it to you from the English Standard Version. Here's how it reads. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking, catch us, looking to Jesus. So what does it say? What's that word there? Say it with me. Looking. Good job. Everybody now, except for the one who was listening. Good job, Trevor. I love you, man. What does it say? What does it say we should do to Jesus? What? Look to Jesus. And I know that all of you, some of you might not think that it works, but bear with me. The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, check this out. Some of you guys are dealing with real tough things. Some of you are dealing with difficult family situations, difficult relationships, men and women, boys and girls, all different things. Some of you are dealing right now with stuff that you haven't even told anybody about. And the Word of God is telling you not to address it as the world would, but to look to Jesus, to look to Him. Because inasmuch as He is the author and perfecter of creation, He is the author and perfecter of the faith that is in you, however small or however big. And in looking to Him, you go to Him. Now, check this out. Where does Jesus look in this text? Where is He looking? It says, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, where does He look? For the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. Does He look at the cross? Or does He look at the joy that was set before Him? He looks at the joy that was set before Him so that in the cross He despises shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So as we look to Jesus, where do we go? We go to Him at the right hand of God. And He is present with us in our struggles. So look to where you're going. Fix your eyes on Jesus. If you're in a struggle right now, I want to test you. I want to challenge you to change your method, change your motivation, change your manufactured perseverance, and make it less about working and more about looking. Make it less about working and more about looking. Because if you look to Jesus, He'll perfect you. How are you finishing? Fix your eyes, look to Jesus, and persevere. Here's what else the word here, it says persevere. Now, you have to persevere, it's a tricky thing. Now, I've told you where you look is where you go, right? Now, our lives are not a sprint. Any sprinters in the room? All you guys who raise your hands for long distance, you sprinters, you know that in sprinting, you start out and you give it everything you got, right? Give it everything you got. You pop, 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 run as fast and as hard as you can to the finish line. You get there. You get there fast. And if you do one mistake, if you screw up one time, the guy running next to you, the girl running next to you is past you. One step. One step is all it takes in a sprint to cover ground that you can never make up. God's Word said life is not a sprint. Life is a marathon. Life is a marathon where oftentimes you even trip and fall down and you need to get back up again. And in the getting up, you have to remember two things. One, look to Jesus. Two, have a stake, have a post, have a moment that you can look at so that you know where you're going and how to get there. Let me say that. We've talked about looking at Jesus so that He can perfect you, so that He can draw you forward. Here's what you need. Runners, you know this, but everybody else, bear with me for a second. Have you ever had a moment in life where you're going through a real tough time, you're at the end of your rope, and you have to stop and look back and see something that reminds you that you can make it? Something that reminds you, you can do this. Do you have somebody in your life that has persevered so strong that you look at them and you go, you know what, if they can do it, I can do it. That's what marathon runners have to do. They have to, when they get back in the pack, they have to remember their training. They have to remember those who've gone before them and say, you know what, even if I get behind, I can make this up. I can press forward. I've got distance to go. I can pick up my pace a little bit here. I can persevere because I know where I'm at in the race, and it's not over yet. I am not beat. And guys, I don't know where you are. I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know how you're dealing with it, but I want to ask you a question. What are you doing to finish strong? Are you looking to Jesus, or are you looking to the struggle itself, or to something else? Are you persevering with your own strength that is so heavy and you wish you were stronger, but you just can't make it? You've tried and tried again, but you can't make it because you're persevering in your own strength rather than in Jesus's? I want to challenge you. Look to Jesus, one, but two, persevere, and look at those who've gone before you. Look at the people who've gone before you, because, and I'll tell you what, well, check it out. It says it right here in God's Word. Noah, one of the, later on we read this, it says, consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. It's saying, don't grow weary, and the way you don't grow weary is by looking back at those who have excelled and succeeded. One who is Christ. But then even before this, it starts talking about guys like Noah and Abraham and those in the Old Testament that were great men of faith. Do you know Noah was 120 years in the making of the ark? 120 years it took him to make the ark. Anybody know the story of Noah and the ark? Anybody seen like Noah, the movie? He's coming out with a new movie. What was the other one that came out a long time ago with who was the dude? Evan Almighty came out. Well, if that movie was in real life, real time, it would have been 120 years long, okay? Sometimes I get a little frustrated with my kids, I'll be honest. And this just happened yesterday. I won't get into all the details of it just because it would take forever. But they're just like constantly poking and prodding at each other, you know? And like one of them will be like, those are my goldfish. And the other one will be like, those are my goldfish, don't touch them. And I'm eating in the living room. No, you're eating. No, don't eat in the living room. Mom said I could. You said I could. And you know what happens after a few minutes? This happens. Look up here. Check this out. This face is what my kids know. This is what happens. If you can see it, I do like this. I go. You see that? You're biting the hair right here. That's what happens. I bite that lip. You know what this is the face of? This is the face of me persevering. Because I get angry, right? I get angry, and even this yesterday, JJ said, girls, he saw that face. He's like, girls, shh. Shh. Just don't say anything. And I had to apologize because I was like, you know, obviously frustrated. And now I've realized he's picking up on that. But check this out. Noah was building the ark for 120 years in the face of people that were ridiculing him, criticizing him, and calling him an idiot, moron, stupid, because it had never rained a day in his life. And now he's going to build an ark in the middle of a desert where he's going to put horses and animals on it. And he's like, and Noah, we see in the text, is like, dude, persevere. Have faith. God is faithful. So we can look back through these small struggles. And instead of looking at the struggle, we can look to the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. The one who did way more than build an ark over 120 years. The one who, because of the joy set before him, walked to the cross and had his nails pierced through his hands and a nail pierced through his feet, so that we could look at him and say, you know what? Your power and your presence is here with me. And I'm not going to look at the struggle. I'm going to look at you so that you can perfect me in the midst of this. That's upside down, people. It's upside down. You won't learn that in conflict management. The only place you learn that is in Christ. And tonight, I don't know what struggle you're going through. I want to bring this message to a close, but I want to give you a chance to get upside down in your struggle. To get upside down in the world, which is really right side up in the gospel. And instead of looking at the difficulty of people and the difficulty of exams and the difficulty of coaches or whatever it might be, I want to invite you to look at the beauty of Christ. And look at him and say, Jesus, make me whole. Perfect me. I'm broken. Set me right. If you would, I want to pray with you guys. So if you would just close your eyes, bow your head. We're going to close up in just a sec. I want to ask you tonight, if you have been struggling with anything, something, if there's something in your life that you've been wrestling with throughout this series, we've been talking about all different ways to deal with struggle. And I don't know what your struggles are, but if you're dealing or struggling with anything that even I've mentioned tonight or haven't mentioned, I just want you to say, hey, that's me. By raising your hand, say, I'm struggling with something, anything. I don't know. I'm not going to ask you to get up and come out of your seats. I just want to know who's struggling so that we can pray together for you. I see those hands. You can put them down. Lord, you've seen these ones who have said by the raising of their own hand that they're struggling with something. God, you've called us and you've shown us clearly how you want to walk with us through these struggles. And I pray tonight that your word would be something that we want, that we desire. And I know that the only thing that can do that in our hearts is you. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to move in each of our hearts, whether we have notified tonight with a raising of hands or not. God, I pray that you would continue to draw us close to yourself. Amen. Amen. Look up here, guys. A few weeks ago,